everybody. Welcome back to Moms After Bedtime. I'm Mandy, and I'm here with Megan and Brooke.
Hi.
And welcome to episode 47. Today, we are going to dive into the five love languages and how that can carry over into parenthood. We are not experts, but we're just going to talk about it and pretend that we are. But before we do that, we'll go through our wine and cheese. So, Megan, you want to go first?
Sure. So, my cheese is that after last week's episode about creating boundaries and all that kind of stuff, I kind of took our own advice, I guess. And I really thought about how I talked a bit about how you have to make boundaries with yourself, and sometimes that includes work. So for pretty much ever, almost, I've had two jobs going at once. And so I had the opportunity to go back to my second job, and I had said to them, because I mean, I'll backtrack. I really love working there, and I love the people, and the company is great, and I really believe in like what they do and what their values are. So there's this part of me that like wanted to be back in that energy space, because it's just like a really strong female led company. So I messaged them and was like, put me on the June schedule, gave them my availability, blah, blah, blah. And then the more I talked about it, or thought about it, and the more like summer is coming, and I've had to say to people like, oh, I can't do this or that because I'm working. And I just am at a point in my life where I don't want to say that anymore. And I'm at a point in my life where I've worked really hard to have the job that I have, where I do have a good schedule, where I can be home with my family in the summer and on vacations and stuff like that. So I just was honest with myself, and I did a hard thing, and I wrote a letter of resignation, and I went in and said, I need to have a difficult conversation with you, and I quit. So, which sounds like a bad thing, I guess, but it's not, because now it feels like there's a weight kind of off my shoulders, and it's because I set a boundary with myself. Nobody else would, like, they were all like, of course, you became a mom, like, of course you can't do both, and that's fine. So it was like a very good parting, and I really love all the people there very much. But yeah, for me, I just had to make my boundary and stick to it. So I did.
Good for you.
You're going to feel so free this summer.
I literally left like after I told them I wasn't coming back, and was just like, I can do whatever I want. Not that, I mean, I wasn't working that much on the schedule anyway, but still, it's just like not having to look forward to like going in, or like I had told him I'd work on Father's Day, and it's Ryan's first Father's Day, and I felt bad for that. So not that he didn't care, but anyway, which is probably part of his love language, which we'll talk about after. anyways, my wine is very stupid, I think. But well, the stupid ones are fun. So I don't understand how I've been married to my husband for this long, or been with him for this long, and I didn't know that he's never seen The Sixth Sense, like with Bruce Willis. I was like, you never seen this? Like, literally never saw it, never knew the twist at the end. He really? Didn't even Wait. Know. Oh, okay, so spoiler alert, maybe, but you've had 20-something years to watch it, so not really spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But... But skip over if you want to. Bruce Willis is dead the whole time. But he didn't know that. He had no, all he knew was the, I see dead people.
Did you watch it with him and like get to like see his reaction?
Yeah, it was great. I was like, I never thought in my life I'd get to see another person's reaction to this movie. But he hates scary movies. So, and I love them. So that's another thing that I was like, how can I be married to you and you have not seen this? So we watched it. I was like, it's really not scary. It's more of like a psychological, like, thriller kind of thing. Like, when they start showing the dead people that he can see, he literally turns to me and goes, you lied to me. That it wasn't scary. And I'm like, okay, well, I honestly, like, I haven't seen it in a while, and that, like, I didn't remember that it was scary. Like, that's how insignificant it was. And so anyway, he thought it was a great movie. He was very like, what? At the end, he's like, he's dead? And so that was cool to watch. But my bigger one of that is that the next night, it wasn't even that night, the next night we were getting ready to go to bed, and he went to the bathroom and came back and was like, oh, that movie, like, is still scaring me. Like, it kind of messed me up. Like, I looked over my shoulder while I was peeing or whatever, and I was like, oh my god, what a baby. And then I couldn't sleep the whole night because I was like, what if there are dead people? Well, of course, because Ryan was like, I wonder if anyone's ever died in here. And then I'm like, oh my god. And I also, like, when the movie was over, I had this existential crisis of like, oh my gosh, you're gonna die, or I'm gonna die. One of us is gonna die first. And now Ryan's like, we should really get life insurance, or like better life insurance. So it was just, I don't know if it was a good thing for us to watch, but it was necessary because everyone needs to see that movie. But that's my why.
It's like Phil has never seen Matilda, but he refused. At this point, it's just become like a thing that he refuses.
He's like,
to watch,
yeah.
But I feel like The Sixth Sense was like quoted in so many other things, like the I see dead people. I don't know. Like, I'm pretty sure I knew the ending before I saw it, just because it was.
That's why I thought I was so like, oh, you know about the ending?
Yeah.
And he's like, no. I'm like, all right, I guess I won't ruin it. I'm glad I didn't, but.
Yeah. What an experience.
Yeah. Yeah. What an
experience. 20 years after the movie came out.
I know. I'm like, oh my word. But anyway, that's my wine.
Brooke, what do you got?
My wine is that I had to play like a mediator between, so Shay needs to be on iron and she got the prescription like months ago. And I think a small part of my wine is I made the mistake of sending Shane to pick up the prescription. Like, the first time he went, he was like, they told me it's not ready. And I was like, okay. Then I sent him again, and he was like, it's not ready, like, weeks later. And I was like, okay, something's going on. So then I finally went in, and they were like, it's not that it's not ready. We just – it was like the pharmacist was like, we don't want to mix the stuff because it has alcohol in it, and she's only two. And I'm like, yeah, but why would the doctor prescribe it knowing that there's alcohol in it? So I had to call her pediatrician today, and they were like, I couldn't believe, I talked to like the on-call nurse, I couldn't believe he said this, but he was like, the pharmacist is just a pharmacist, they don't know any better than the doctor. And I was like, oh dang. Like, they hate each other. So I don't know, it was just annoying trying to get a prescription that Shay should have had like 2 months ago. And
oh my god, that's not gonna help with her constipation.
No, that's the other thing, is she's just on like a constant dose of Miralax right now. So, which surprisingly, she's not pooping constantly. She poops consistently now.
Yay, Shay. There's your cheese.
Yeah, exactly. No, my cheese is that we went and visited my sister and her family, who we haven't seen since probably Christmas before the pandemic happened. So like a year and a half, I guess, over the weekend. And it was just nice to see them, which is, it's always good to see people you haven't seen in a long time. But I think the best part about it is it actually felt relaxing. I think the best part about like visiting siblings that you're closer to is that they like to do the same things you like to do. So I know that I can sit on the couch and be lazy and my sister's not going to judge me. Like, you know how like a vacation sometimes doesn't feel like a vacation because you have to interact with people. So like for me, it was like, we just did whatever, and they are similar people to us. So we like watched movies and played board games and literally watched TikTok for a few hours. So it was just nice to have that and see Shay finally, like pretty much she hasn't seen her cousins since she was so little. So it was practically like she was meeting them for the first time, and she was playing with them and having fun, and it was just a nice little getaway.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. What about you, Mandy?
So I feel like when we've talked about this probably before, like when our kids make a huge step developmentally, like something else kind of takes the hit because of it. Usually it's sleep or something along those lines. Which thankfully it is not sleep, but all of a sudden Isla has had this like huge burst in language, and she's saying a ton, and she's putting a couple words together. But with that, has come some pretty intense tantrums and definitely knowing what she wants and how she wants it. And the other day, it was Memorial Day, so we had the day off. We literally had zero plans. The weather was complete shit all weekend. So we had nothing to do, nowhere to be. She had the biggest and longest tantrum we have yet to experience our entire parenthood life so far, because we went downstairs and she wanted to stay upstairs. And she lost her shit. She was so mad. And it wasn't just like, I mean, we've definitely had tantrums and we've definitely like had to like work through it. And I've mentioned before that she can hit and she can bite and she can scream or whatever. This was like purposely going over to the table and knocking something down and staring us in the eyes, and then going over here and throwing it and looking at us to say no, and then just chasing us around the room just to be like, no, did you hear me? I said no. And it was to the point, it lasted much longer than any other has, but it just was to the point that Phil and I were just laughing. Like, it was just so funny. It was so ridiculous.
What's that saying? Glutton for punishment. Like, she just was like, I dare you.
Yeah. And so, of course, we're just, like, you know, feeding her the scripts and, like, just, like, walking away. Like, you're being unsafe. I'm going to move my body. We don't hit. And then just walking away. And then her, like,
no!
Oh, I hear you. You didn't want to come downstairs. You can play with, like, whatever. Just on repeat. But thankfully, like, we had nowhere to be. Because if we did, I think that I would have been probably stressed out and, like, reacted differently. Yeah. But instead, it was just, like, funny. And then Phil, like, went. He's like, I'm going to go Dunkin' Donuts and get us breakfast. Bye. And he left. And she, like, calmed down almost immediately. And she was totally fine. But it was just.
You're, like, out the door. Like, come back.
But I'm like, oh, God. Like to the point where she has to be like, did you hear me? You hear me? I said no. I didn't want to come downstairs. But my cheese is that mine and Phil's anniversary is not till the end of this month. It's June 24th. But June 24th is exactly 1 week before my due date. So we didn't want to take a risk and go do anything or book anything and potentially waste money. And also, I don't want to be like, you know, 39 weeks pregnant and not be home. So this weekend, we are doing a little trip. Like, we're not going very far. We're going to a beach that's like 45 minutes away from us. But we got a nice little hotel room. And I was going to stay with Phil's parents this time, which it's like she just had a really good night with my mom for Phil's birthday. So plus we want to get her like as much practice as possible before we're going to be away from her for probably at least two nights when we have the baby.
Yep.
So but this will be the first time she spends the night at their house. So hopefully that goes well. But I'm just excited to, like, have an adult night at the beach. Because even, like, Phil's birthday was, like, fun, but it was, like, just a lot of go, go, go. And
you were, like, a hostess. Now you can just chill.
Yeah. I'm just excited because it'll be relaxing. Like, it has a really nice pool. It's supposed to be gorgeous this weekend. So it's a nice pool. But also we could, like, go walk the beach and do cute little shops. But, like, it'll be our own pace. And I'm excited for some adult time because I don't remember the last time we had, like, relaxing adult time. So, and we're probably not going to get it for a very long time after this baby comes. So, but yeah, that's my cheese.
Nice.
Alrighty. So, like I mentioned, this episode, we're going to dive into the love languages. You guys are going to have to remind me, what's his name? What's the...
Dr. Gary Chapman.
Dr. Gary Chapman was the one who wrote a book initially is what started it, right?
He was a marriage counselor, and then he wrote this book because... I listened to the, like, Oprah has a Super Soul Sunday conversations, but, like, they are in podcast form, too, not just a show, and he was on there, and he said that he was a marriage counselor, but he was like, there has to be, like, a formula to this, because it's the same exact, like, five conversations that I'm having every single time, and so then he was like, let me categorize what's happening. And then he came up with these.
So he sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
I believed him when he was talking. He sounds smart.
I believe it. I buy into it. I think it makes perfect sense. Should we start by going through the five love languages?
Sure.
All right. So I know that there is physical touch, which is pretty self-explanatory. Like, you show your love through physical touch. And I don't, like, I think people's mind, like, jumps to sex, but I think that could just be, like, hugging, kissing, holding hands, like, just showing
like,
it physically.
Like, you know people who are, like, touchy.
Right. Touchy-feely people. Like, right? Yeah. Like that, yeah. And then there's words of affirmation, which is like basically telling somebody how much you love them or how much you appreciate them, and basically always verbally giving them that. What's the word I'm looking for?
Affirmation.
Affirmation. I was going to say validation. But yes, affirmation, validation, like verbally. So always like hearing it. Then there's quality time. So spending quality time with the person. I think it's more like...
He described quality time because he went through this list too. And he sort of said it was more like you're being intentional about, I want to spend time with you and only you. And that's kind of what quality time. But I mean, this could like extend further to like families too. So I want to spend time with only my family unit.
Right. Kind of
thing. Okay. That makes sense. Then there is gifts, right? Mm-hmm. Giving gifts. One's pretty self-explanatory. And then
acts of service.
Acts of service. So doing something for somebody, especially something that like that you know that they probably wouldn't want to do themselves, right? Like, so like if you hate the dishes and your partner is like, okay, I'll do the dishes every night just to make you happy kind of thing. That's like an acts of service. Showing your love through acts of service. So those are the five different types.
And if you take, so you can take a quiz. So you get your love language and that's how you like to receive love, but also how you like to give love. Because sometimes I get confused and like, it goes both ways. So like for me, mine are acts of service and gifts. And so like I like to do things for other people and I like to buy things for other people, but I also like to receive love that way. So like I like it when other people buy me something or, you know, do something, an act of service. So
it also, the quiz gives you, because I retook it today just to like prepare for this, but it gives you percentages. So like you might be have two really high ones and you, like Brooke was saying, she has two, but he was also saying that you might have three. And it's not like you can, the person who's giving you the love, if they know you're three, like you can't go wrong kind of thing. So that person's spouse has it easy.
Anything's right.
I was just going to add on that like as we're talking about that you show and receive, want to receive love in your love language, it's important to know the love language of the people in your life to make sure that they're receiving love in the way that they want to, because it can be misinterpreted. So like, for example, like I said, my love language is acts of service. And so I just want Shane to like do the dishes and fold the laundry and like clean the house for me, because that's kind of what it feels like. He's doing it for me. But I'm pretty positive his love language is physical touch. So he shows his love by constantly like giving me a hug or patting me on the back or like rubbing my leg or...
This picture of coming up to you and like patting you on the back.
Well, you know, like say I was busy doing something, you know, he might walk by and like rub my back as he walks by and like, I'm thinking of you. But if anything, it's like, that's the last thing I want. Like, don't touch me. So like, it's important.
Brooke has like a 0% on
that. Yeah, I don't touch me. But so it's helpful for him. I nailed it into his head like, hey, acts of service, acts of service, acts of service. So now when he can see that I'm like maybe not feeling well or like down in the dumps, he'll do something instead of come over and touch me. But it goes the other way. I need to remember, because I want to just, if he's having a hard day, I just want to swoop in and do all the hard stuff for him and like clean the house or whatever it is. And really, he's probably just like, why the fuck is she vacuuming right now? I want her to come give me a hug or something like that. But
that's funny. Ryan is definitely acts of service person for sure. And I definitely forget that. And but he sees it as like, I did all these things that, well, like we joke all the time that like stereotyping, he's like the wife in this scenario. But it's, I think it's really because his love language is acts of service. Like he just consistently is showing me that he loves me through doing stuff like that. And I forget that because just like you said, Brooke, I'm like, I'm words of affirmation. So I will consistently be like throwing words of affirmation on him. And honestly, he could probably like give a fuck. Like he's like, oh, that's nice. But like, you also didn't do the dishes for 3 whole weeks. So
yeah.
If you go to the 5 Love Languages Instagram, it's just the letter. It's the number 5. Love languages. they have like a thing about each language, and the acts of service one, it has a suggestion. So I don't know if you think that this would be a good suggestion for you, Brooke, because I'm kind of stealing ideas.
Yeah.
It says, get creative. Ask your partner for a list of tasks that they would like during the next month, and then make a priority to complete them.
Yeah.
Okay. I know what I'm doing for Father's Day.
Well, I might be a little bit annoyed if that was like, well, my second your love gift. Language is yeah. gifts. So I would be like, that's my gift. Like.
I have to do the mental load of coming up with a list for you.
Okay, I got Ryan a couch steamer for Father's Day. So I also got it's what he wanted.
He really is like the stereotypical wife in the relationship.
But yeah, so if you wanted to go, I thought their creative ideas on Instagram are really good, because the words of affirmation one was like, think of a different compliment for every day of the week for a month that you can say to your spouse. I mean, that's a lot of, like, mental work, but I was like, I would feel so loved by that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Same. We have, like, in our relationship, mine and Phil's, where our anniversary is coming up, and we decide that we aren't going to buy each other gifts, but I do ask every year, I'm like, I just want a card. Like, cards are really, really mm-hmm. important to me, because my love language is also words of affirmation. That's my number one. Because all I want is that nice blurb in the card. I don't, like, what the card says is one thing, but, like, I what want that paragraph from him. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't even have to be a card. You can write it on, like, a lined college rule piece of paper. Like, I don't care. I just want that little blurb, mm-hmm. and that's all I usually want for, like, any kind of holiday, honestly.
Do you know what's funny that you said that? Is when I was listening to the podcast, Dr. Chapman actually said, people who like quality time actually really love letters too. So if you have words of affirmation and quality time, because I'm like that too. If you write those me a letter, I'm going to marry you. But but those two things together fulfill, like, super fulfill quality time and words of affirmation. So that was one of his suggestions. So that actually is funny that you said that. But I agree.
Yeah, and I know there's so many people out there who don't give a shit about cards.
Yep.
And, like, I have actual friends who have been like, please do not send me thank you cards, because I think it's a mm-hmm. waste, and, like, whatever, don't do it. So I'll just send them a text. But I'm like, that's all I want. And I have I've posted on my takeover week before, my bottom drawer of my dresser is filled with old cards from people. And Isla just opens it up and throws them everywhere and keeps herself entertained while I get ready in the morning. But it's, like, I just don't want to throw them away, too, because I want to, like, have, like, go back, like, Megan. Look. Well, you know what? This makes perfect sense, Megan, that we have the same love language.
I know. Because every time an event comes up, Megan writes me a novel. Cards to each other.
We really do. And Megan not only usually writes a novel, she also usually draws an illustration to go with it. But I have so many cards from, like, my wedding and my bridal shower and birthday parties and things like that, anniversaries, and I hold on to them because those are, like, important to me, but I know other people are like, actually, what did we just have? Oh, Phil's birthday. Duh. And I was like, I honestly slacked on getting him a card, and I had to run out the night before, and he was like, I do not care
about the card.
Like, I don't care about the card. And I was like, I want to write you something nice inside of this card. Like, I want you to know how much I love you. He's like, I already know, like, you threw me a birthday party. Right. Like, I don't need
after service
a card with a little paragraph in it. But
you know what I have done? Because, I mean, I don't really know. Like, Ryan is always like, oh, cards, like, if I write him a nice card, he's like, that's nice that we have, like, a box that we, like, keep stuff like that in. Mm-hmm. But it's not like he's, like, over the moon, like, whatever, because it's not his love language. But I bought a whole thing of, like, blank cards. That I will pretty much, it's the same card that he gets, but, like, for everything, I write something different. So, just so I don't have to do that, and I know he doesn't actually care about the card itself either, mm-hmm, right. So.
Yeah. See, I'm all actions speak louder than words. Like, you can tell me all day, like, I love you, you're doing great, but I need, like, a solid, like, show something. Show me. Don't just tell me.
That makes sense.
I also think it's interesting, and I don't know how accurate this is, but of course I saw this on TikTok, which, you know, is a reliable source these days, that your love language often is what you didn't receive a lot of as a child.
Mm.
So, like, ooh. If you're – and I – again, I'm not a professional, and I found it on TikTok, so – I don't know if it's accurate. I'm telling
Kathy that she didn't
give you enough
acts of service.
I tried to think back. Like, I definitely had everything I ever needed, and we always got gifts and stuff. But I don't know.
It's probably not like a hard, fast rule, but that's probably where a majority of people's stuff comes from.
Right. So, like, if it is like, if my love language is gift giving, but this is another thing I want to talk about is like, I feel like gifts sound so superficial. And like, ooh, I just want you to buy me things. But it's not that at all. It's more about like, you thought about me when you saw something at the store. Like, it doesn't have to be anything big and extravagant. It could be like my favorite candy bar or like a card with a giraffe on it because I like giraffes.
Ryan and I are both the worst gift givers. Like, that's why we don't do gifts for each other, because I just don't think either of us, like, obviously I like getting stuff. Like, that's anybody likes getting a gift. But I think we're both, like, so much more quality time is, like, both of our second ones that we, like, for Mother's Day and Father's Day, we're both like, I don't know what the fuck to do. Like, I'm going to get you a gift, I guess. This is the only holiday that we don't necessarily, like, share. Because, I mean, our birthdays are so close together, too. So it was just hard for both of us, I think, to, like, come up with. So that's why we have a stroller and a carpet. Or couch steamer.
I love, like, giving, like, being thoughtful with gifts. Like, actually, it drives me crazy because I've had to, like, try to, like, reshape Phil's brain. Because I'm like, not everyone needs a gift card. Mm. I understand that gift cards are useful and people enjoy. Like, I'll be honest, I like getting a gift card because I'm like, I can go spend the money however I want. But I'm like, that shows me that you weren't thinking of the person. Like, I just want to, like, show, like, I think that you would love this, like you said, like, you're putting more effort into, like, that specific person. It's not just, like, a generic, here's $20, do what you want with it kind of thing.
The Instagram thing said, people who like the gifts language, it's thought over expense. Which, exactly. I think that takes away that superficial thing that you're talking about. Like, it doesn't have to be superficial at all.
Again, it could just be, like, my favorite candy bar. Like,
That was one of the suggestions.
Yeah, really?
Was to bring home your person something, their favorite sweet from the store.
Yeah, or like, or my favorite soda. Like, just knowing that you were walking down the aisles of the store and you saw something and you thought, Brooke would like this. But yeah, I think just going back to the, like, the love language of is what you were lacking as a child, I don't think it necessarily means that your parent never gave you love in that way. They just might have had a different love language, so they were, like, giving you their, you know, communicating their love in their way. So then maybe you somehow, I don't know how that works, but I thought that was very interesting.
That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be a huge issue. And, like, we talk a lot about, like, or we are talking a lot about, like, our marriages, but I feel like it makes perfect sense for any relationship, friendship, or your own kids. But you are going to want to give in the way that you prefer to receive, and if that person doesn't want it that way, then there's always going to be that disconnect, or like, someone's going to feel either unappreciated or unfulfilled on either side of it. So if you're like, I guarantee you, and I try my best, Phil's love language is 100% physical touch, and it's not mine. So I'll be like, I could be, like, it's, you know, it's weird. It's, I, like, want to give so much physical touch to, like, Isla. Like, I just want to, like, hug her and kiss her all the time. But sometimes I just do not want to be touched. Like, I just need my space sometimes. And I have to, like, remind myself, like, he probably feels, like, so rejected.
Because you,
when I'm, like, please, like, I just don't want to be touched right now, please. He probably takes that as, like, a huge rejection. And I need to remind myself, like, okay, sometimes I need to give my, like, and I'll just be like, I love you, like, my words of affirmation. I love you so much, but please don't touch me right now. And he's like, that's not doing anything for me.
Like, well, I feel like that's just, like, the huge takeaway is that you have to pay attention to other people's love languages.
Right.
And I think in some sense, you have to learn, like, the acts of service thing. That's probably, like, one of my lowest ones. Like, I just have to learn how to do that for Ryan, and to really be conscious of how often you're actually thinking about the other person's love language, whether it's your spouse or your own kids or whatever. I think that you have to, it's like work.
It's so hard. And that's
part of being, like, a successful team.
Yeah.
You have to put a lot of effort into it. It doesn't just, like, because if it's not, unless you guys share the same love language, then.
That's easy.
Lucky.
Probably.
But otherwise, you have to really put the effort in. Like, you have to stop and think, like, okay, it's unfair to that person that I am not giving them what they need at this moment, even if it's not how the way that I usually want to give something. Mm-hmm. And you have to kind of turn around your, like, frame of mind and.
Yeah.
How you do things.
It's so, like, instinctual to act in your love language. So, like, I think we show our love through our love language without ever even thinking that that's what we're doing until somebody's, like, communicates, like, hey, I actually don't like it when you clean the kitchen for me. Like, I don't see that as you showing me love and appreciation. Like, can you? I think that's the other piece is, like, communicating about it. Because, like I said, I've told Shane over and over again, like, acts of service, acts of service, acts of service. Or, like, even gifts, like, if you go to the store and you buy yourself, like, a soda, can you just ask me what I want, too? Because, like, that's just, to me, that's a thoughtful thing to do. And, like, just communicating to the people that matter to you, like, how they want to be shown that they're loved and appreciated and how you want that, too.
I think you can argue that, like, any type of way of showing that you love somebody is, like, nice mm-hmm. and, like, is probably going to be well-received. Like, if you clean the kitchen... Like, obviously, I don't think anyone's going to be mad that you did that, but they're just going to, they're going to wish that it was something.
Or don't even see it as an act of love. It's just an everyday thing.
All these things are going to pile up, and then you're going to be like, you don't even love me. You never show you love me. And the other person is going to be like, yes, I do. I do this every single day. Mm-hmm. And if you aren't, like, aware, I think is maybe the word, then.
Yeah.
Right. If this person's like, you never tell me you love me. And they're like, okay, but I clean the kitchen for you every single day so that you don't have to. And you're like,
wait a minute.
There's obviously, like, that disconnect. Yeah.
So, like, something that he was also saying, and that sort of on the Instagram. And I think, Brooke, you said that Dr. Chapman also wrote another book about love languages with children.
Yeah. It's called The 5 Love Languages of Children. And it's Gary Chapman and Ross Campbell.
I mean, that's another very important relationship where you have to show and receive love, so.
Yeah. And when I was, like, reading up on it, it was pretty much talking about, like, first of all, to show your child love in all the love languages, because it's important to do that.
Expose them as well. And then later on find out that you lacked in one area and that becomes their love language.
Oh, and then, like, if you're looking to identify your child's, like, primary love language, is to pay attention to how they show love or, like, what they want the most from you. So if they're always like, mommy, mommy, I want a hug, throw me in the air, you know, do all these physical type things, then most likely it's physical touch is their love language. Or
like, if they want you to play with them all the time, it's probably going to be quality time.
They want you to write them a letter.
They're like, I really appreciate if you just write me a card.
So yeah, I thought that was really, really interesting because I never even thought about it. And I think looking at love languages too and how I show my love to Shay, you know, I don't know that it's much of acts of service. Because I feel like when you have a child, everything you do for them is an act of service.
I feel like, parenthood is an act of service. I can see that more when they get older.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I'm like, I'd be curious for people who have older kids and, like, really, or maybe not past the acts of service, because I still feel like even my parents have to do stuff for me sometimes. But, like, I just wonder, can you recognize, like, do you know, oh, if I want to show my daughter, like, do something, like, special for her birthday or something, I know I'm going to, actually, my parents did this for me a few times. Like, I'm going to say she doesn't have to go to school and we're going to spend the day shopping together or go out to lunch.
That would be quality time.
Quality time. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how acts of, definitely when they get older, I think that's a bit easier. And then I think Megan, too, like, I see, like, grand gestures are, like, acts of service in my point of view. So, like, you know, maybe doing something big for their birthday or...
like, throwing a huge party for them or something.
Yeah, I don't know. But definitely I can see my gift giving with her, and I have to really rein it in and not... because, you know, there's, like, a fine line. You can't just buy your kid everything that they want. And, like, I was even reading in... well, it was an article about Dr. Chapman's book, he even says, like, it's not about buying your kids what they want. It's about, like, mm-hmm. getting them things that...
thoughtful.
Yeah, that are thoughtful or things that they need. But it's hard when they're young because they already... At least Shay, she already has everything she needs. So, like, if I walk by something in the store and it has, like, a character on it, like, I so badly want to buy it, but mm-hmm. I have to talk myself out of it because it's not going to benefit her.
I wonder if you can change love languages throughout your life. Like, I wonder if there is, maybe I should look this up before we did this, but I wonder if there's one that's most common for kids.
Yeah.
And then you grow into the other ones you can understand better. I don't know.
I didn't look through the whole article, but it went through. So the article was posted on parents.com called The Five Love Languages of Children. And it goes through like what your child does. And then how to express love to them.
I can see it, like, take, because I, like, from what you're saying, Megan, I can see, like, obviously every kid gets excited about presents. Every kid wants to jump right to that part of their birthday party, like, whatever. But I think there's going to be certain kids who really appreciate those gifts maybe more than others and aren't over them the next day and kind of see them as more of not, like, oh, I got new toys, but more of, like, taking them in as, like, this person loves me because they bought me whatever.
The example in the article is like a grocery delivery service sent them flowers because they messed up the person's order, and then that person gave the flowers to their five-year-old daughter, and then she was like, oh, you love me, and then like told everybody about like, oh, my mom gave me flowers, look how special these flowers are. Aww. So like instead of just being like, yay, flowers, and then like running off and doing something else. So it's,
that makes you think of all the little kids who, like, pick dandelions and give them to you.
Yeah.
Their love, right. Which must be gift-giving.
That's true.
That's true.
But, yeah, it was a cool article.
There is a quiz on the website. You could take, like, a quiz for yourself, but there's also a children and a teen one.
I wonder if there's, like, an age
that you would know
when it forms more. Like, I just feel like when they're so little, I couldn't tell right now what Shay's, like, love language is. She, I don't know, maybe physical touch because she likes... But Mandy, I was thinking when you were saying like your love language is not physical touch and neither is mine, but I constantly want to like hug Shay and hold her and kiss her and like.
Physical touch was a pretty close one for me with quality time, but I will also say like PDA, I can't handle it. Mm-hmm. I hate doing it. Maybe I'm, like, traumatized because I was very PDA-ish with, like, a high school boyfriend. But anyway. But I hate it. And actually, Ryan's the same way. Like, I get so uncomfortable if I'm, like, somewhere or, like, at, like, a party with friends or whatever. And Ryan has, like, his arm around me or anything like that. I'm just, like, I want to crawl out of my own skin right now. I hate this. Mm-hmm. But it's not that I don't like that because... at home, I'll be like, hug me. Like, yeah. Like, we'll just walk past each other and, like, hold hands or whatever.
Yeah.
But I hate doing that anywhere else. And a lot of the questions were asking, like, holding hands in public or stuff like that. And, like, with Eliza, like, if I could hold her 24 hours a day until she's 23, I would do it.
I shared that TikTok on our I shared it on the podcast Takeover Week a couple weeks ago. Maybe it was just my own personal one. It was like this mom, she was like, I just want to unzip mm-hmm. my skin and envelop
yeah.
him, like put him inside of my body and just have him be one yeah. with me. And the dad, she like pretends to be the dad, and he's like, what? No, I've never felt that before. But it's true. I just want to, like, oh, you just, like...
But only her. Like, I don't... It's not like Shane and I are, I mean, physical, but we're not, like... It's not like I constantly want to be, like, hugging him.
I like the idea of, like, touching. Like, if you want to be on the couch, I like it if we're, like, touching that way. But, like, I don't need you, like, all up in my face. I don't need to be, like...
Making out with me
all the damn time. But, like, if we're sitting on the couch, like, if you want to put your hand on my leg, like, that's mm-hmm. nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess there's a fine line, but...
I don't know. Anybody who the physical touch is their number one thing. Because I don't think that it's sexual.
No.
No.
So I don't know.
I mean, I think the whole underlying idea of love languages is not necessarily sexual. It's just how you show you appreciate and care about somebody, too.
Right, because it could be to whoever. Yeah.
I think it's like, so I wonder if there is maybe this is research I should have done before doing this episode, of like when there is an age of when you should really like expect it, like that to be established kind of with your children. Yeah. So I feel like that's got to be so important if you can kind of pinpoint the way that they feel loved. Like, I mean, obviously we all want our kids to know how much we love them, and if we can know like what's the easiest way that's going to make them feel loved and appreciated.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I'm going to bring in another like reference, I guess, to this that maybe, I don't know if it'll answer your question, because maybe I should just read Dr. Chapman's book, the children one. But I'm reading a new book right now. It's called What Happened to You it's Oprah. Jeez, she's coming up a lot today.
Yeah.
I'm an Oprah face. And Bruce D. Perry. And he's a childhood psychologist. And it's all about like changing the conversation of what's wrong with you to what happened to you, because obviously whatever's going on later on, it's a lot about trauma, but what they talk about is like the younger your child is, the more they're associating all of their senses with memories, and so their subconscious is being created. So I feel like if you might not be able to like know what their love language is, but I think you can expose them to them. I mean, they're not going to know acts of service, or they might know gift giving, like if you give them a different toy, or I don't know.
The article that I was looking at goes into it pretty like in depth. But I think like the big thing is like once you feel that they're old enough, I guess, to really have an understanding of what their love language might be, is again making sure that you're providing love to them in the way they want to receive it. Because like if you're just telling your kid that you love them all the time because your love language is words of affirmation, and like I do that too, like I want Shay to hear it all the time, like I love you, I love you, I love you, but like if she doesn't really see that as like receiving love that way, then it's not really going to make a difference unless you change. It's like what we were talking about with our husbands or other people in our lives. So, like, I think it's important to make sure that they're not feeling, like, almost, like, neglected in that area or underappreciated, because we should still appreciate our kids. Okay, got it. Acts of service kids are kids that say, you do it for me. So, like, say they don't want to, like, tie their shoes.
Wait a second. I mean, that's kind of how I was thinking of it as kids get older. Like, so, like, when kids have more responsibilities, so say, like, you know, it's someone, their chore to set the table every night, and then maybe one night, like, you're like, I'll, you know what, you sit there and do whatever you want, I'll do your chore for you tonight type of thing. But when they're, like, as little as ours
this
are.
One says, like, if they want you to tie their shoes for them or fix a broken toy or fluff their pillow. So it could just be like, it's not funny. That's how I am. Fluff my pillow. But yeah, I mean, obviously you have to be careful not to do everything for them.
Like that'd be a great opportunity to like pick and choose times where you give them a choice.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Do you want me to tie your shoes today or do you want to tie them? But then the next day, like, okay, but now.
Well, again, it's the same idea. You're not constantly, like, if you're, I think words of affirmation is just the easiest one to understand. Like, you're not telling your kid all day, every day, I love you. So, like.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I'm like.
I really am. I'm so annoying. She's going to go to therapy and be like, my mom just wouldn't shut up.
I know. I'm like, I'm going to ruin her with my love language, because I like words of affirmation. Eliza, I really don't think she knows most of what I'm saying. Like, she turns her head at her name now, but that's pretty much it. And she, like, I am consistently being like, how do I speak kindly to her? Which I think is important, 100%.
Right.
But I feel like I can't just, like, I'm just constantly talking to her. I think there's a part of it where, like, I care about language development and I am a little tiny bit, like, educated in that area, just being an English teacher. But, I mean, I'm always like, how do I say this nicely to her? How do I? And I don't know. I'm like, she has to know through my words how I feel. But I feel like she's going to grow up and be like, this lady never stops talking.
Like, I think we get back into, which this is just going off on a tangent, you can never do anything right. Because if you just like,
how is this going to end up?
Like, I'm going to I'm gonna like tell her how much I love her so much that she's gonna go to therapy one day and be like, my mom, like I had so much pressure because my mom loved me so, like,
yeah.
You know what? Doesn't, I'm just gonna fuck her up no matter what. I'm gonna love her too much. Yep.
Yeah.
That's, just get them into therapy early therapy. So they, you're at least doing something right. The other thing in that piece of this article is it also talks about common pitfalls for like each love language in childhood. Mm-hmm. So I thought that's good. So you don't always do everything for your kid or buy them too many things.
I feel like that also goes for relationships too. Like we were talking about, mm-hmm. Oh, you can't always, I don't know. I just feel like you can overdo. There's always too much of a good thing. And I think being exposed to all of the love languages is like, could be a healthy balance.
Well, it's not special when you do it too much anyway. You know what I mean? Like the for me, the point of like an act of service or a gift is that it's like a once in a while thing, not an everyday thing. That's what makes it more special.
Right. If you got the same, your favorite candy bar every single day, it wouldn't be, it wouldn't feel as genuine. Right. Right. Actually makes me think, because I think I've made feel.
Sounds like you're going to say like figolo. I don't know.
I made Phil take the quiz a while ago, and I know physical touch is his first one. I can't remember his second. I think it's acts of service. He does a shit ton of acts of service for me, so probably. But today, his friend just went on a little golf trip and brought him back like this really nice, like a beer glass. I don't know. I can't remember the word for it. He's like, oh, I want to put this in the freezer and like, so I have a frosted glass for my beer or whatever. So he's been doing that. And I put away the dishes today from the dishwasher and it was in there. So I was like, oh, he likes this in the freezer. So I just put it in the freezer. I didn't think anything of it. And he opened the freezer today and I thought he was like going to cry. He's like, oh, you put my glass in the freezer? Oh, you're so nice. Now I can have a nice cold beer. Like he was genuinely so happy. And I was like,
I'm serious. It's the smallest things.
I watered the lawn the other day after I made a huge, like, stink about it. And then in my head, I was like, no, that will mean a lot to him. And so I basically was like, I'm not doing it. And then a few minutes later, I went out and did it. And then he was like, you watered the lawn? So, yeah. It's like, you're right. It's the littlest things. But I think sometimes when it's not your love language, it seems daunting.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're right. It is the littlest things. He, like, one time he called me honey. He never called me honey. And I was like, honey? That was so endearing. Like, you must really love me. And he's like, what? And so now he'll, like, very, very, like, rarely, but he'll just throw it in there. And then he'll, like, look at me, like, knowing I'm going to, like, be like, oh, you love me.
But he's using it, like, intentionally because he knows you like it.
Right. All right. Well, I think we'll wrap it up there. I just think that was a good conversation. We'll definitely put in the show notes a link to the 5 Love Languages Instagram and also both books that we talked about, and I'm sure there's a website. Actually, I know there's a website that
with the quizzes. Yeah,
so yeah, with the quizzes, and so we'll put all that in our show notes.
I think we covered. I'm kind of glad that we have a bunch of different love languages to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited. Actually, after this episode, why don't we post and see? I would love to hear like other people's love languages and like things that other people have done for you that like.
Yeah.
The frosted glass that, like, made you so happy.
Because it's probably, like, the smallest things. Like, honestly, sorry, I know I'm wrapping it up. I had so seniors are graduating, and I had a student email, like, a small group of teachers that she had this year. And she wrote us each, like, a paragraph about, like, why we were so influential in our high school experience, all this stuff. And I just, like, cried because it was just... And but Ryan was part of the email too, and he was like, oh, just this person's email, so nice. But that was but I was just like, oh my gosh.
He was like, she never came and cleaned my chalkboard. Yeah. Like, okay.
Oh yeah, it's just everybody's different.
Like always, rate, review, subscribe, make sure you tell all your friends about us. Follow the Instagram, make sure you're watching our stories, participating in our polls and our little question boxes and all that fun stuff. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.